Iranians vote en masse, with the state of the economy and the question of foreign policy being major factors in determining their pick for the next president of the Islamic Republic. On this edition of The Debate, we ask how the high voter turnout is being seen by the outside world. I'd like to introduce our guest with us live from San Antonio, is political commentator Mr. Mark Dankoff, and Congressional Defense Policy Advisor Mr. Frederick Peterson is with us live from Washington. Thank you very much, gentlemen, for being on this edition of The Debate. My first question to Mr. Mark Dankoff in San Antonio. Mr. Dankoff, Iran says the pressure and sanctions imposed by the U.S. and its allies have been meant to pit Iranians against their government and, as a result, discourage voting, but that this high turnout has shown that they have miscalculated the situation. First of all, do you agree with that analysis, and will we, as a result, see a revision of the United States and Western policies towards Iran?
Well, I think I caught the drift of your question. I was having a little bit of trouble with my audio, but I think from what I did pick up on, I think what we're witnessing is an obvious attempt in the Western world to delegitimize the Iranian elections. George Labaki of Notre Dame talked about this on Press TV a night or two ago. Eric Dreitzer of the Stop Imperialism website did so also. And it's obvious that when you look at the forces that are behind this delegitimization attempt, these are the same people trying to demonize Putin and Russia, the same people trying to demonize the Venezuelan presidential election outcome. Again, usual sources, usual suspects, and the same motives.
Let's bring in our guest, Mr. Peterson, in Washington on this as well. Now, Mr. Peterson, Mark Dankoff was just telling us there that there has been an attempt to discourage voters. Of course, the United States has been saying that we are not discouraging voters, but they have suggested that they believe the voting is not legitimate or that it's not free and fair. But do you think with the high turnout that we saw today, the United States and its allies could be rather accused of making a strategic mistake about Iran?
Well, I'll say that how does one respond to the comments that were made by the initial guest when one goes to hard left anti-American websites for one's information? It's no surprise one will come up with an anti-West, anti-American, actually anti-democracy result. And to bring President Putin into this is even more indicative, and the elections in Venezuela. Each of these are monuments to fraud, abuse, and corruption on the part of the government against the will of the people. What Iran has done now, the people are making a choice as to whether to vote for the limited field, the intentionally limited field and inadequate choices that they have in a democratic, a quasi-democratic form, or vote by staying away from the polls. They have done what I think I and for whatever that might be worth would have advised them to do, and that is to participate in the process knowing full well that it is a corrupted process and a limited process, yeah, and vote for the candidate that best represents their interests, even though that candidate is quite inadequate and their field of choices has been grossly limited.
Okay, Ms. Peterson,
they're
I'll
doing
stop you
this,
there if
I believe,
I may.
As a monument to what happened last time out, the yes. riots in the street of 2009.
Okay.
And they're okay. voting.
Yes.
I encourage a good outcome. Yes.
Okay, I'll stop you there if I may, because I just want to ask our producer to put for us up comment three that's been posted on our Facebook page regarding how the United States has been treating Iran's election process. We'll take a look at that comment, which brings me to my next question, and I'll be back.
Western governments urged Iranians to boycott the elections. Bunch of losers. Hope Iranians get a leader who will bless and be blessed.
That was, of course, one of the comments posted on our Facebook page about this issue, the Iran's presidential election, and how specifically the United States, among other countries, have been reacting towards it. Mr. Dankov, the thing is, even if we do consider the United States coming out and saying, well, we believe for this reason and that reason, we are concerned about the process, that it's not fair or free or etc., another question, which is a broader question, is isn't this interfering in another country's internal affairs? And isn't it for the Iranian people as a nation to decide whether they want to go or they don't want to go to vote according to the situation that they see inside their country?
Well, precisely correct. Let me make three points on that score. The first is that when you look at what the United States and Britain did in Iran in 1953, that has been confirmed by declassified CIA documents provided by the George Washington University National Security Center, you can see how the United States and the West generally have been involved in the subversion of the democratic process in a variety of different places around the world for many years, including Iran. Secondarily, if our other guest thinks that I represent the far left, I'm a Pat Buchanan, Ron Paul Republican, and I'm a life member of the National Rifle Association. We might ask him how that stacks up with being a member of the radical left or someone who is influenced by radical left ideas in the United States and the West. And then thirdly, I think that our host has already underscored the fact that regardless of what is going on in Iran, regardless of what's going on in Venezuela or Russia, what business is it of the United States to be interfering in all of these situations, especially with the absolute corruption of our own political process in this country that is there for all to see if we begin to study what lies behind the curtain?
And as you say there, the election system of the United States, since you mentioned that, before I go to our guest in Washington, let's take a look now at comment two that's about this issue. We'll take a look at that comment, and I'll be back with the next question to Mr. Peterson.
I hope one day the American people, like the Iranians today, will have a real choice in who they choose for their leaders. Every state and federal sham election held in the USA, the ruling Red and Blue Party have claimed 99% victory in every poll.
Okay, that criticism raised by one of our viewers about the democratic process in the United States. Now, Mr. Peterson, a lot of observers would be saying that basically we can't find, a perfect 100% democracy anywhere in the world. Each and every democracy has its shortcomings, etc. When we are seeing, however, in the United States, the fact that only two parties, those who are criticizing the system, say only two parties are basically, it is almost impossible for the other parties or independents to become president. They are the ones who are prominent, that this in itself is not democratic. Why should the United States see itself in a position to start criticizing the way elections are held in other countries?
Well, I think we're agreed on, I would hope we are, all of us, including our other libertarian supposedly guest, on the basic premise that democracy is the best expression of the will of the people. But we must ask ourselves, what is the legitimacy of that democracy? And what we look for is the democracy is an expression of the will of the people. It must be true, it must be free, and it must be open. Each system, being human, a product of human endeavor, whether it is in the United States or in Iran or in Russia or anywhere else in the UK, is a product of the people, and either an overt expression of the will of the people or the tolerance of the people or an expression of the people's will having been denied and frustrated. I think in the United States, we have two political parties for sure. There are several other political parties, one of which, there are several political parties in the United States. Within the tent of the two political parties are broad diversities of opinion that express themselves in terms of sub-elections and selection of delegates that generally express themselves in a dramatic contrast between a Democrat and a Republican solution to a problem. That system is certainly imperfect. No one would hold it up as being perfection because perfection is not of this world.
Well, we have
we
seen Iran, Mr. Peterson,
of imperfection.
We do have however, the principalists, we do have the reformists, and we do have independents. We've seen in Iran, for instance, a president that's been independent, not affiliated to any party, but have we seen a president in the United States that's not a Republican or a Democrat? I mean, becoming a president, of course, is another thing. Being influential in politics is another.
Well, we certainly... I don't think there's any comparison, actually, between the two. The candidates have been routinely denied by ruling council in Iran of the very eligibility to vote. There have been hundreds that have been murdered in the street, imprisoned, as a result of protests against the corruption in the last time out, in the last election. That, thank God, has not happened in the United States as of yet, but I'm not holding the United States up as being a perfect system. As I said, there is no perfection. But the United States does have a wide disparity of opinion and a rather dramatic differences of belief, as you can see, between the two guests here. One... claiming to be on one side of a Republican Party that holds positions dramatically different from those within that same party, and certainly more common with members of other parties in the United States. So there's broad diversity in the United States. Unfortunately, that diversity is limited by the ruling council in Iran to expressions that meet the government closed approval.
Okay, because you mentioned this, let's have a response by Mr. Dankov on this as well before I continue with the rest of the questions on Iran. Mr. Dankov, what would you say about the diversity that we see in the election process and in the democratic process in the United States, especially when our guest there, Ms. Peterson, was saying that what he called the crackdown on dissent that he's referring to is not prevalent or is not widespread in the United States? What's your idea about that?
Well, I was a third-party candidate in the United States Senate race in Delaware in 2000. Previously having been in the Republican Party, I know something about this particular topic. And people who have run as third-party candidates in this country, left or right, discover that ballot access, corporate money, and corporate media coverage determine these political games in the United States. If one looks at the Federal Election Commission lists of who bankrolls these major party candidates, it's very instructive. If you look at what Janet McMahon has published in the May 2012 issue of the Washington Report on Middle East Affairs and look at the amount of Israeli-affiliated Political Action Committee money that is being poured into this race, into these races, that underscores something else going on in the United States, certainly. And then when you look at the so-called Citizens United versus Federal Election Commission decision that was reached by the Supreme Court of this country a couple of years ago, saying that multinational corporations had the same rights, constitutional rights, as individual American citizens, it doesn't take a real genius to figure out that in terms of corporate money, international banking money, Israeli lobby money, oil money, and so forth and so on, that we have the best political process in the United States that big money can possibly buy.
Mr. Dankov, just quickly, I want to go to the next point. I guess Ms. Peterson was saying in his remarks there, hundreds of people being killed. I'm not sure whether he was speaking about Iran and what specifically he was referring to there. But before I go back to him, I just want to raise one issue here. One of the candidates who was speaking today, he was saying that in this competition that we have today on the elections, it's not just one me as a candidate competing with the rest of the candidates, but it's us competing against the United States. And that was saying a lot about how Iranians are seeing the position of the U.S. We even had people on the streets in interviews saying, I want to vote because I see the West is interfering in our country's affairs and I want to stand against that. So do you think this policy that the United States has adopted is actually backfiring on the United States?
I think it's already backfired. And let's face it, the entire world
is that
knows
addressed to me?
That
no,
the United States
Dankov,
and the Israeli Mossad, that the United States CIA and the Israeli Mossad have been employing the Mujahideen-e-Khalq terrorist organization to undertake various acts of terror in Iran in recent years. Then there are the banking sanctions and the sanctions against Iran's oil ministry that Congressman Ron Paul has correctly described as acts of war against the present regime in Iran. And then we add to that, of course, these American military deployments in the Persian Gulf and the threat on the part of both Israel and the United States to potentially use preemptive military force against Iran. And it becomes abundantly clear that this is a stacked deck and that as a part of this methodology of trying to change the Iranian government from the outside, not from within Iran, but from the outside, this also involves the present media campaign going on in the West to delegitimize these elections there.
Well, Ms. Peterson, something else that I just wanted to raise with you here concerning what you said earlier on is questions about the sincerity of the United States when it's speaking about its concern on the situation in Iran, because a lot of people are saying if the United States was sincerely concerned about human rights or the democratic process in the country, I mean, we're seeing it's in comparison to other countries, we're not seeing the same approach. I mean, Saudi Arabia, they say, is a close ally of the U.S. Qatar is an ally of the United States. They don't have elections at all. Is the United States treating them in the way that it's treating Iran? Doesn't this show that in dealing with the situation in Iran, it's not considering genuinely the interests of the Iranian people, but rather its own interests?
Well, we have to get back to what we mean by democracy and whether democracy is an expression of a form or whether it delivers substance to the people, substantial rights and participation or an ability to truly affect its government. It can be corrupted in the limitation of the electorate. It can be corrupted in the limitation of the number and selection of people who run, and it can be corrupted at the polls. So simply to call a form democracy, in quotes, meaning that it is more or less beneficial or delivery of the expression of the will to the people is not correct. We have to look at the substance of what it actually delivers. I am not certainly here to advocate for a kingship or a despotism of any sort. And I would say that democracy in its ideal form, uncorrupted, is the best expression of the will of the people. I don't believe, and as I said in the beginning, my personal position would not to have urged the people to stay home from the election, but rather would have encouraged the people to participate in the process with the choices they're giving, expressing a dissatisfaction with that form. It's a difficult decision to come to as to whether to participate and cast your vote or cast your vote by refusal
well,
to participate.
On the question that we made there about the comparisons.
We can have a discussion on that, but I think that...
Yeah, the comparison that we made there with
yes.
Iran and I said Saudi Arabia and Qatar, the question here is, why do you think we're not seeing the same approach? I mean, Can you yourself justify this, that the United States is not treating the cases because of the fact that they are allies and Iran is not an ally? What other reason can there be?
Well, no, I think certainly I would say that because they are not perceived as either a regional or a global threat to peace. They don't export terrorism and violence, yes, throughout the region or throughout the world. They don't support it or sustain it. I should say that it is much more illuminating now to hear your other guests' comments regarding Israel and Mossad, and I'm sure if we had an hour instead of a half an hour program, we'd get into conspiracy theories, which seem to come as a part of a package with the element, the very small element within the Ron Paul libertarian movement that we're hearing expressed here.
Okay, so the question here would be,
if I could jump in. Very illuminating to hear those remarks.
Yes. We are quickly running out of time. I'd like to give both of you enough time to give your views. But before that, I'd just like you to take a look at the final comment that's been posted on our Facebook page. That's comment number one. And it says a lot about what people think are the intentions of the United States. We'll take a look at that comment and we'll be back.
It's a good show to all Middle East countries and whole world that Iran is a democratic country, but not a sycophant of American and Western countries. Congratulations to Iranian people.
That comment being posted on our Facebook page by one of our viewers. Back to Mark Dankoff in San Antonio. Now, Mr. Dankoff, there are, of course, a lot of questions about why the United States versus Iran, the relations are looking like this. So I guess they're in Washington suggesting the reason why the U.S. is treating Iran very differently from its allies like Saudi Arabia and Qatar is that Iran poses a regional and a global threat. We have others who are saying, like this commentator, for instance, on Facebook or other analysts, that the fact is the United States, some say, are following the interests of its regional allies, and that's why these considerations come out. What do you think is behind this?
Well, I think when we look at this whole situation, it's abundantly obvious. If the United States and Saudi Arabia are interested in supporting democracy, let's take a look at these wonderful Democrats that they're currently supporting in Syria, who are affiliated with a Wahhabic element within Sunni Islam. They have great affiliation with the Al-Qaeda terrorist organization, which we say is our enemy in Afghanistan, but we have used both in Libya and in Syria. The fact of the matter is this has nothing to do with democracy whatsoever in terms of one person, one vote. It has nothing to do with respecting the autonomy of independent nation states. It has everything to do with the United States and Israel wanting a regime change both in Syria and in Iran for their own interests, which involve Benjamin Netanyahu's Eretz Yisrael doctrine, which involves the dictates of international central banking, and the usual suspects that are trying, in this case, to steal Iran's natural
Dankoff,
resources,
I'm afraid I've got to stop you if I may.
Oil and natural
we
gas.
We are quickly running out of time. Just 1 minute we've got. I'd like to give both of you 30 seconds, if you can. In Washington, Mr. Peterson, you said a lot about the concept of democracy, how we should define it. We have in the United States very recently the NSA spying program. That was seen as a very big blow to democracy. How should democracy be defined according to U.S. principles, in 30 seconds, if you may?
Well, I will tell you that I share an abhorrence and a shock, actually, at the degree and depth to which U.S. citizens' rights and privacies are being infringed by this current government. The motivation of this government, I'm speaking of the United States government at that time, at this time, is also, I believe, highly suspect.
I have to stop you there, Mr. Peterson. I am really sorry.
Going on in
we are out
right
of time.
So,
the last comments, Mr. Dankoff, quickly, if you can, before we end the show. How is the United States defining the concept of democracy?
Well, what you have is a situation here where the same things that the United States is doing internationally are the same things that they're doing domestically. The revelations of the NSA surveillance program are yet the latest advancement in a police state that is developing in this country. And we might ask our other guests, if we had the time, why it is that so many Israeli intelligence and telecommunications organizations are involved in these illegal, unconstitutional NSA wiretaps.
Mark Dankoff in San Antonio, political commentator. Thank you very much, sir. Big thank you to a guest in Washington, Congressional Defense Policy Advisor, Mr. Frederick Peterson. Thank you so much for being on another edition of The Debate with me, Homa Lesgi. Until our next program, it's goodbye.